News Radio KMAN. Good morning. It is now 7:03. I'm Dave Lewis. Brandon Peoples is standing aside for right now. It is time, though, for our regular coronavirus update. We're doing this every morning now and all the way through the weekend as well. We did it both Saturday and Sunday as well, and we'll continue to do this until some of this scariness subsides today. And we're going to start hanging out a lot together in the morning show, Bob Koppel. Good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
Bob Koppel is the president and CEO of Ascension Via Christi Hospital in Manhattan, and also oversees the Wamego Hospital as well. And Bob, let's just kind of touch base on a number of things. I know that there's a lot of folks that are still trying to figure out what to do, where to go, and how to get about things if they feel that they may be symptomatic with the coronavirus.
Well, so, you know, specific to the coronavirus, a good first step is to call that screen line, the 785-323-6400. You'll get to talk to one of our local healthcare professionals, and they'll help you kind of sort out what makes sense for you. If you need to just stay at home, if you need to see a physician, if you need to go to urgent care, or if your symptoms are really severe, you know, perhaps you need to come to the hospital. And I think it's important, too, for people to remember and to know that, you know, physician offices are still open. The hospital is still open. We're still taking care of our normal, what we call normal patients, people with cardiology issues, other pulmonary issues. People are still having babies. All those things are still happening, and you can still get to see your physician or get to the hospital if you need to.
Now, you have curtailed some activities, procedures at the hospital for the time being.
Sure. We've actually tried to quit doing anything that's elective. And so things that can basically, maybe a better way to say that, things that can be postponed that are not necessarily medically critical. And so that surgery or that procedure, that diagnostic procedure might be rescheduled at this point until the mid to late April. And this is all about just creating capacity. So if we do have a surge of coronavirus patients, we've actually got the capacity to absorb that easier. And so we're seeing this, you know, you'll probably read about it. This is the same thing happening across the country.
Right. When you talk about capacity, where are you now with the hospital? Do you have a certain percentage of rooms that are filled, or do you have plenty of capacity, at least at this point?
Oh, yeah. The capacity for us right now is not a concern at all. Because of the measures we've taken to reduce elective procedures, that has really dropped our census significantly, the exception actually being OB. We are having a little bit of a baby boom here in March, so that area has been very busy. But other than that, everything is down, and that includes our emergency room volume down significantly. I think people have perhaps stayed home or maybe talked some more to their primary care physician and have, you know, determined they didn't need to come to the emergency room.
Just out of curiosity, how many beds do you have available at Ascension Via Christi here in Manhattan?
Well, so that's actually, so our census changes about every 2 hours. And so it's a little bit, it's a little difficult to answer that question because it's just fairly fluid. Plus, we have staff that can be brought in. Staff equals more beds available. And then as part of our normal emergency management planning, and this happens to be for a virus, but we do the same. We have emergency management plans for all kinds of different scenarios. You always have what's flex space or alternative care space. And for us, that's typically taking space that would be used for outpatients. And instead, you're going to flip it and use it for inpatient care. So it's kind of interesting. There's a lot of people, I think, really concerned about what the potential capacity would be. And I think actually we're asking the wrong question. This all gets back to, you know, a lot of people using that term flattening the curve. You drive the need for capacity depending on how well you do as a community with social distancing. So the worse you do, the more patients you have, the more capacity you need. If you address the social distancing up front and you do that well, you actually reduce the need for any, you know, for you reduce the capacity needs significantly. What we've seen, like in New York and other places, you actually have a minority of people who get the coronavirus that actually even need hospitalization. And so it all gets back to, so how do you shrink the original number of people who get coronavirus, and then that drives what you actually need for your downstream capacity.
So at this point, capacity is not a concern for you at Essentia Via Christi in Manhattan.
Not at all.
How about the Wamego facility?
So the same thing. We've actually followed the same process. Maybe people aren't aware, but we are co-own the facility in Wamego with the city of Wamego, actually, and we're responsible for operating that. They've implemented those same steps of reducing electives. And so, again, that has translated to a shrink in their volume and also has freed up capacity there. So the hospital there is kind of operating in the same scenario. And I would also say that's pretty much true of everybody in our state and in our region, definitely. Every single hospital has kind of taken these steps to free up capacity.
Bob, there's been a lot of talk about test kits and the availability of test kits to, you know, to determine whether someone has the coronavirus or not. But you tell me that the test kit is just part of one process, but it doesn't necessarily differentiate in the treatment if you are symptomatic of something that may be coronavirus or something else.
Correct. So, you know, I think, again, that's maybe been a little either overlooked or missed. The real purpose of the test kits is to track the spread of coronavirus. It has almost nothing to do with how a patient is actually treated because you have the symptoms people have. And so if they have the fever, the cough, the respiratory issues, we're treating that patient for what they've got going on. And whether or not they're positive for coronavirus actually is not that material. But what it does tell you is if, say, Bob tests positive, then you can start to look and say, okay, so who's around Bob? Who is in his circle? Who might have also been exposed now to coronavirus? And so use it more for an epidemiological or kind of trying to track things and then project what that impact might be. And again, it's more learning about the progression or spread of coronavirus than it is actually going to do with the treatment of any individual patient, because that actually is not going to change a whole lot just because you're positive or negative. Because even if it's negative, if you still have high fevers, if you're still having cough, respiratory breathing, we've still got to address that, right?
Yeah.
And so, I do think that's kind of a little bit of confusion, perhaps. And as far as the test kits in the community, we actually have, again, across various parties, we kind of created a stockpile. And so this includes our federally qualified health center, CONSA, the Riley County Health Department, here at the hospital, et cetera. We all have been able to collect some of those. And so the actual volume of test kits is, again, for me, I don't know that that's a major concern right now. It's really the question of, you know, what's the right use of them. KDHE actually pushed out some guidance to all healthcare providers yesterday about prioritizing who does get tested. And a piece of that is just the testing process itself. The capacity of it is being stretched. And so they want to really focus on certain populations. And kind of the short version of that is it's people who are older, people who are in nursing homes, people who are already hospitalized. Those are the ones that will get priority for testing.
Tell us about the coordination that you at the hospital have with the local physicians.
Well, so I think, you know, again, it might be just helpful for people to understand kind of how this works. So this is a significant public health issue because it kind of goes across to all demographics. So the health department's kind of on point. And so Riley County Health Department being on point, but then below that, then we've just got to kind of get the work done, if you will, and coordinate efforts. And so there's a large group of local physicians, actually, who are now engaged. They're actually giving some of their time, personal time, 1 to 2 evenings a week just to work on coordinating. And for the most part, you've got all the primary care groups in town that are involved. We've got any of the larger health organizations involved, and then also some of the specialists. Because, they think they all understand this is kind of one of those situations where we're all in, and we're just trying to work to coordinate who has resources, who has personal protective equipment, where are things needed, and also really to walk through or work out the processes of if we have a patient with this set of circumstances, what's the right thing to do and how should, you know, where should they go, how that should be taken care of. This next group of patients, what makes sense for them from a process standpoint. So it's very cool. Actually, we've got folks talking and communicating. We're actually doing all this by phone because we're practicing good social distancing. but really working as a community of healthcare providers to come up with some solutions so that if we do have a significant number of patients here, we're kind of prepared for that. And everybody already kind of knows this is what we're going to do. This is how it's going to work. People already have communication channels established. And, you know, again, it's very kind of across the community. Pretty much any provider that is involved, potentially, be it long-term care, hospitals, clinics, our government entities, everybody's kind of on the same page and kind of moving all in the same direction.
I know it's a new day in healthcare, and I recall seeing, and I'm trying to come up with it here right now real quick, that the governor kind of loosened up some restrictions with regards to what they call it, telemedicine, where you can communicate via phone with your healthcare provider?
Sure. Well, and I would agree. These are certainly not ordinary times. So what we've got some executive orders to make it easier for physicians to use technology to get the patients and communicate with them. And so the ability to basically do a visit over the phone, depending, you know, we've got some actually physicians in our community who've been trialing this over the last week, and not wanting to take shortcuts with how they're caring for patients, but really trying to minimize exposure for patients, especially if they're in our vulnerable population. And so this allows them to use different technology, different ways to communicate with people, be it face-to-face on a computer screen or just talking with them on the phone. And it gives them the ability to write some prescriptions and take other actions, write other orders for them without physically seeing that patient in person. So it's a way to create some flexibility. And especially, you know, for the vulnerable population we've been talking about, it's just a safer way, you know, keep people where they are if we can to get healthcare. One thing, too, I should probably mention, Dave, we do now have data coming out specifically in New York and some other places with a lot of younger people with coronavirus positives. And this is not necessarily what we've seen in some of the other countries. So we don't know if we really understand why that is, but we do now have a lot of 20, 30-something-year-old folks who are not only testing positive, but actually getting fairly ill. So it's just, you know, I think their first blush from this over the last week or two, I think some folks thought, well, I might be carrying it, but it's not really going to impact me that greatly. We're actually now seeing that that is having an impact on some of our younger citizens. So we would just, again, really emphasize to people the importance of just staying home. This is a time just to pull back, stay home, stay away from other people, regardless of your age, but certainly be mindful of those that we also know are very, very vulnerable to this, our older patients, our older population, people with lots of other health challenges. This is not a good thing for them to get.
Well, Bob, we've covered a lot of topics, and you know, we're going to save some others for tomorrow. We're going to be visiting here on a regular basis. You and I are going to have this time frame at 7 a.m. here for the, you know, as long as we've got information.
The morning's the best part of the day.
Oh, isn't it, though? Isn't it, though? But we certainly thank you and extend our thanks and appreciation and respects to all of your staff. I know that they're really pulling up the bootstraps and trying to do whatever they can do to make sure that our community is safe.
Well, we're blessed to be here to help.
Bob Koppel, President and CEO of Essentia Via Christi Hospital, thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. And we also want to remind you that we will have a 5 p.m. update here on News Radio KMAN. Riley County Health Department Director Julie Gibbs will be joining us for another live interview. We'll have some different perspectives from Julie in terms of coronavirus spread and some numbers that will be coming from the Kansas Department of Health and Environment, and also talk about some of the new restrictions that she, as the health department director, has put in place. We've covered some of that within our news stories this morning already here at News Radio KMAN.